gates, yea, seven, which are an abomination to him, haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among the brothers. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for all of the truth that you bring to us. And we thank you for knowing the things that are an abomination to you. The things that are just totally unpleasant to your mind, to your heart. And Heavenly Father, we're thankful for all of the truth that we come into knowing. And I ask your blessings on the ones that are here. Bless their families and their loved ones. And Heavenly Father, bless them to know your truth and to come in to more of your truth, to be willing to accept it and to be willing to live in it. And in all these things, through Yeshua's name, we give you praise and honor. And amen. And this morning, the message title that I have for you is God Loves and God Hates. And this is a message that I'm sure that at least part of it, the God hates part, you probably won't hear in much of mainstream Christianity, because all they want to bring to you is God's love and God's mercy and God's forgiveness. And surely God is all about all of those things. But what I would like for you to know today is that there are things that God absolutely abhors. And that's a very strong word. It's also a word that is expressed by the word abomination. It's a strong disgust, a strong sense of being of arousing hate within the person. And in this case, we're speaking of Almighty God. There are things that he literally hates. There's things that is detestable to him. How can it be expressed any clearer than the worst of the worst? These things arouses those emotions in Almighty God. And my text to you is the Proverbs 6:16. And it says, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. So I would say it's very important that we know these. For it's for sure, if we know what God hates, then we can take it that just the opposite of what he hates would be what he loves. We don't want to get our Almighty Creator all in an uproar against us by doing these hateful things. And we want to, if anything, arouse the even more of the love that he has for us by doing just the opposite. And the first of these that the Lord hates is a proud look. And you just well to say pride, period. God doesn't like prideful persons and people and churches. And you just well to say communities, states, countries. God doesn't like that. And you know, there's many people across this whole earth that would look at the United States of America and look upon us as a prideful people. And from this standpoint that we're thinking of, that's not good. We don't want to be full of pride. A proud look proceeds from an egotistical, proud heart. Look who I am. Look what I've done. Hopefully, you've never thought those kind of thoughts, because those kind of thoughts come from a prideful person. Look what I can do. Look what I've done. Look what I'm going to do. I can recover from anything. You see how many I's it is in all of these statements? I don't think God really likes the I in that regard. He wants a heart that looks to Him for their help, for their encouragement. The general causes of a proud look are some supposed excellencies. Perhaps it's your skills, perhaps it's your talents, or it could even be your education, your job. Some of these things make people overly prideful and without just cause. You know, it doesn't take much looking at all to find someone much more educated and with much more knowledge and ability than we have. If you haven't found those, then obviously you're not looking, because they're all around. None of these things are sufficient excuse for being prideful. Pride puffs up people with self-sufficiency. I can do this. And self-satisfaction. Look what I have done. So that they refuse to face the fact that they're idolizing themselves with these kind of thoughts and expressions. The Lord hates a proudful look and a prideful person, but He loves a person who has a humble heart. He loves the person who has a degree of meekness. We don't think about that word or express that word too awfully many times, of being meek. But you know who comes to my mind biblically? It says Moses was a meek person. Moses, the deliverer of the nation, God's people, Israel, from Egyptian slavery. Moses, a great man of God, a great man in the eyes of all Israelis. Another person that comes to my mind within our church recently, but now passed away, is Joe Flowers. And when I think of the word meek, I always think of Joe Flowers, because she's very real to me. And she lived until 6 or 8 years ago, something like that. But she was a wonderful person. I would have loved for all of y'all that didn't know her to know her. And if you ask anybody that's been in this church for a very long time about Jo Flowers, they would tell you the same as I. And that's something, how people that have that kind of character, a meek person, how they leave such an impression on everyone, and pretty well everyone has the same opinion of them. So that lets you know something about a person. Pride puts itself on the throne and God in the gutter. The demons of the heavens fell through pride. The most beautiful angel, generally speaking, that our Heavenly Father created, the most beautiful being that He created was Satan. But God didn't create Satan to be Satan. He didn't create you to be prideful. There are things that Almighty Creator God leaves to you. He does not take decision making away from you. You can decide to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, the only begotten Son of the Father. And you can decide to accept the Father, or you can decide to reject both of them and say, I don't want any part of it. I don't believe it. It's just a story. God gave you that ability. He did not take decision-making away from His creation, human beings. And He did not take decision-making away from the beings He created that turned out to be demons and Satan. He did not take their ability to rebel against Him of all persons. And so they decided to rebel. One third of the angels of heaven rebelled against Almighty God because they were given that decision-making ability, and they rebelled and rejected and were cast out of heaven. So the bottom line is that demons and Satan fell through being prideful. And Satan, the most beautiful angel that was ever created, is the leader. And he's your enemy, just as he is the Father's God's enemy. He's the one that's wanting to make you fail and fall. He's the one wanting to make you give up living for God, quit the church, do your own thing, go your own way. Satan is what is behind it. Rebellion is behind it. Pride is behind it. In Proverbs 16 and 18, we read that pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Secondly, the Lord hates a lying tongue, but God loves justice, fairness, rightness, or righteousness, or right doing. The Lord hates gossip, a lying tongue. A lie is something spoken from a design to deceive. A person who makes untruthful statements may, however, just be misunderstood rather than purposely lying. Truth in our words is the most important principle. Truth in our words. Remember in the Bible the words that says, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, and stick to that. Don't go a lot further than that. Just give it the way that it is. Tell the truth. Yes for yes. No for no is right. Some make a lie to what people call to make sport, or to poke fun at, or to provoke for fun. Others lie just to try to cause mischief. Some to promote their reputation. And some to try to harm the reputation of others, belittle others. And others lie to conceal their faults. There are many proofs that God hates lying. God struck down Ananias and Sapphira for conspiring to lie. Remember that? When the very first leaders of the first church were gathering together, assembling, and asked that they decided that everything be collected and sold and then distributed among everybody as anyone had need. And Ananias and Sapphira conspired to sell some property, but yet not to tell the full truth about the proceeds that they were to bring to the assembly. God didn't take that lightly. And that's one instance where not telling the full truth, you know, costs the lives of a husband and a wife. Is that the God that you know, the God that you serve, would do such a thing? For sure it is. Our God does not like lying. He hates lying. The devil is spoken of as a liar from the beginning. And he would like nothing better than to deceive you some way, somehow, and to cause you to fall, and to cause you to go against God, go against the principles that your mom and dad has taught you of right and wrong, and the principles that you read within His Word of how you to live your life. The devil would like nothing better than to cause you to reject that, to go away from it. Thirdly, the Lord hates hands that shed innocent blood. But God loves harmony and unity. He wants us to see things alike. He wants us to observe the truths and celebrate the things that are right that He brings to us. But the Lord hates hands that shed innocent blood. And it's for sure that capital punishment is essential in a world that has rejected God. Genesis 9, 5 and 6 tells something about this. You know, it didn't take mankind too long on this earth, and crime and the shedding of innocent blood was rampant. There was lying. There was robbery. There was murder everywhere. And God looked down and seen that mankind was generally going astray. And so that was one of the occasions where Almighty God didn't like what he seen and what mankind was doing, and God intervened. And that's why I'm certain that it's inevitable that God intervenes today, because there's so much to see that we know that Almighty God would hate. And usually, just as Sodom and Gomorrah, when he sees things that he hates, he's going to do something about it at his time and place and purpose. Intervention was inevitable. Matthew 26 and 52 lets us know that if you take up the sword and you live by the sword, you're going to die, most likely by the sword. The Lord hates hands that shed innocent blood. The Lord hates the heart that devises wicked imaginations. Do you see anything today going on that you can pretty well say it must have had a wicked imagination person behind this thinking these kind of thoughts to bring this kind of thing into being? So we can say, yes, it's prevalent today. The minds of some people are as deep and as dark as hell. Their minds are at work day and night to devise schemes of lust and of cruelty. Fifth, the Lord hates feet that are swift in running to mischief. Wicked imaginations lead to wicked actions. But the God that I know loves obedient service to both himself and to our neighbors. People who feed their minds with filth make haste in doing mischief. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. That is in your Bible in Matthew 12 and 35. These are the very opposite of the actions of our Savior, who we have many examples of him going about being of good service, healing ones that were sick and doing good. Six, the Lord hates a false witness who speaks lies. But on the other hand, God loves truth. Perjury is a serious offense before God. In Exodus 20 and 16, we read that thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Perjury not only is bad for the innocent, but it also does harm to the perjurer. Seven, the Lord hates a person who sows discord among the brethren. And there's definitely those kind of people today. Those who sow harm deceitfulness, almost probably even could say lies, in order to have discord among the brethren, in order to break up harmony and unity, in order to break apart an assembly of believers. Brethren are sons of one Father. In Psalms 133:1, we read, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Isn't that wonderful? How wonderful it is for us to be able to gather together in one accord, in one intent and purpose, and praise and show our Heavenly Father that we love Him. How wonderful that we can do that. In Proverbs 16:28, we read, "A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends." Boy, isn't that powerful? Shows you where discord can come from. How the breakup of brethren, how the tearing apart of families happen. And it's so sad to think that some people are just going to have the intent of that happening. And therefore, that's why the whispers. That's why the discord. "A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends." Proverbs 16:28. Some things should not be whispered. They hurt people and they displease God. You know, there's three things that we should find ourselves doing anytime that we hear something that we really don't know for sure is true. We didn't hear it with our own ears. We heard someone else bring it to us. So are we supposed to just take it that they speak nothing but the truth, that they have no intent whatsoever of doing harm or sowing discord? There's three things that we need to do anytime. We need to have questions answered before we repeat anything that we hear. And those three things is, number one is, is what I've just heard, is it kind? Is it kind? Is it helpful? And is it true? And if you can't answer those three questions there with a yes, then we don't need to repeat it. Is it kind? Is it helpful? Is it true? The ideal Christian life emphasizes a life that is dedicated in service to God and in service to our neighbor. The ideal Christian life emphasizes this love for God and neighbor. But there are also some great negatives in life of which the true child of God should seek to avoid. And surely all of these things that God considers hateful are one of these negative things that we should seek to avoid. We should avoid these things as if they were deadly diseases. And in closing, I would like for you to think about the fact that we can go to Revelation 21 and 27, and it will let you know that when New Jerusalem comes down out of heaven to this earth, and all of God's people are gathered together there, people that are prideful and have any of these characteristics of the other things that God considered hateful or evil, none of those people are going to be there. The fate of any of those committing these abominable things that God hates won't be part of the future that God has for His people. They won't inherit eternal life. They won't go to heaven, so to speak. They won't be part of New Jerusalem. But in Micah 6 and 8, it explains to us what God requires of us that we'll make sure that we are part of eternity, part of heaven, the place that He is preparing for us. And Micah 6 and 8 says what God requires of us. And it's all of those things that God loves rather than hates. But basically, God requires of man love and kindness and justice and to walk humbly before your God. The opposite of hate. The opposite of a prideful person. Let's look to do and to be those things that God loves. If you would, stand with me.